You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, number 150.
You could be a bomb or a bullet or a pin or a thought or a word or a sentence. There ain't no reason things are this way. It's how they always been and they intend to stay. I don't know why I say the things I say, but I say them anyway. But love will come, set me free.
Hi, this is Rod Murray. Glad to have you back. Well, that little teaser was from a song called Ain't No Reason by Brett Denon. He's been featured on several TV shows. I think I first heard him on The House Show several years ago. I really like his music. He reminds me of young Bob Dylan, only with a better voice. Anyway, I think you'll like the song. Stay tuned, and you can hear the whole thing at the end of my podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to all of the things we talk about on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. My topic today is an interview with Yermi Cohn, MD. He's the co-founder and CEO of Memorang Incorporated. It's a new company. It's a startup. It specializes in, quote, fun, rapid-fire learning tools for students in higher education. Students prepare for exams with thousands of free, pre-made flashcards and quizzes. Memorang partners with leading publishers, institutions, professional organizations, and authors to develop trusted content, end quote. I discovered Memorang at a conference not too long ago. It's the Reimagine Education Conference and Awards. It was held at the University of Pennsylvania, and it's quite an impressive conference. There are literally hundreds of presenters over 2 days. I'm really sorry I wasn't able to see more presentations, but it turned out I talked to Dr. Cohen in the hallway, and we talked a little more, and it turned out they won the Silver Award for the best educational app. I was happy to hear that because I think it's a very clever app, and you'll learn more about that in a few moments. We talk about how they make money, for example. It's free for students, but you can buy validated content called flashcard power-ups. You can create your own study playlists. Every time you create a new module, it automatically creates flashcards, multiple choice questions, and games. So that's automated that way. So you can use this to test yourself and then share it with other people. So you'll learn more about the roadmap for the company, a very impressive new app. So without further ado, here's my interview with Yermi Cohn. Yermi, thank you so much for agreeing to talk with me today. I really appreciate your time. As I told my audience before you came online here, I first met you at the Reimagine Education Conference at Wharton at University of Pennsylvania. So before we get into the nitty-gritty of your app, which as I understand, you won an award there at the Reimagine Education. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into all this and what's your background?
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in Los Angeles, and then for my undergrad, I went to MIT where I studied mechanical engineering and biology. And it was actually pretty interesting because the style of learning that you have as an engineer is much different than a lot of my peers when I ultimately went to medical school. Most notably, everything was open note. So if you were a pre-med at maybe Harvard or UCLA, you would have to memorize the biochemistry pathways. But at MIT, it was open note and you would only have three or four questions, but it would dig really deep. So that's the style of learning that I had to adapt to. But after I graduated, I went to UCLA for medical school and it was completely the opposite. It was more about volume than depth. And I realized that I had no idea how to study. It kind of felt like I was starting from scratch. And so that for me was really frustrating because I had thought I was a really good student. And then I got to medical school and I was struggling because I never knew that I didn't develop certain study habits that I should have. So after struggling a little bit at the beginning, I went, we had this academic support office at the UCLA's medical school. And I went up to them and I was like, you know, I'm struggling. I used to be really good in school. What can I do? And they said, you know what? This happens to us all the time. We know exactly what the problem is. You should get tested for a learning disability.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I'm pretty sure I had a good GPA with 2 degrees from MIT. I don't have a learning disability. What I need is study skills. And they're like, here's a referral to get tested. So, I mean, some people might actually have a learning disability, maybe ADHD or auditory processing disorder or something that really affects them. But I was really frustrated that because I felt that was dismissive. I was wanted to learn how to learn, and instead the blame was placed elsewhere. So being an engineer, I became a student of being a student, and I realized that a lot of these really cool cognitive principles that had been studied for the last 20 years and shown to work hadn't really found their way into formal instruction and hadn't found their way into a lot of like learning software. So I started experimenting with things like flashcards and different types of tools. And I don't know if you know, like there's a really popular flashcard tool called Quizlet, which was also started by someone from MIT. But when I tried to use Quizlet, it was basically just memorization of lists. And when you're a graduate professional student, information isn't always so easily categorized into a term and a definition. And so it just felt too superficial to get that deep level of learning that I needed as a medical student. So I started learning how to program. I contacted my best friends from MIT, and we started building software. That software ultimately is what became Memorank, but it didn't start out as a company. It started out as a personal problem I was trying to solve. And a few months before we started looking to join a startup accelerator, I actually used a beta version of our tool to go to the 99th percentile on our national board exams. Wow. So I went from struggling and – yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's certainly impressive. In fact, it reminds me some – I won't go into depth, but it reminds me somewhat of my history. It happened a long, long time ago, but I ended up learning how to program because to solve a problem at that point, I was in graduate school and I needed to do some statistics. So this is way back, and I taught myself BASIC and I programmed a lot of statistical procedures to solve my problem.
Oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I did something similar when I was doing research in medical school. They would have either undergrads or medical students do data analysis, but it would take 3 months to dig through all the tables. So I wrote some software and made some custom Excel macros that reduced from 3 months down to maybe 30 minutes. So, you know, the engineering mindset is that software or pretty much any sort of tool is a way to magnify multiply your efforts so that you can get more out per unit time.
Well, this is very interesting. I know my audience is going to be very interested to hear about your app that you finally came up with. And, you know, when on the surface, I thought, well, you know, here's another, you know, flashcard app. And flashcard apps have been around. I remember building them in HyperCard back in the 90s, you know. But why don't you tell my audience how your app works, what makes it stand out?
Yeah. So when I think of the problem of memorization, I think of it as just one component in overall learning. The goal with building Memorank at the outset was to be an all-purpose study tool, whether or not you were in middle school or grade school, or if you were in graduate school. And so the first thing that we did is that we needed to design a way to represent information that was more flexible. So as opposed to a normal flashcard where you might have an A and a B side, you can build associations. So for example, let's say that we're doing something about pharmacology. So a drug would be on the first side of the flashcard. But there's multiple things you need to know about a drug. You need to know what class it is, how it works, the mechanism of action, side effects, contraindications, and other things like that. So for each concept, in this case, a certain drug, there's multiple things you need to know about it. As it turns out, if those attributes, we call them tags, are shared in common. So you could be studying aspirin, and you could be studying ibuprofen, and you could be studying Tylenol. And each of those drugs would have different attributes. And what our system does is it compares and contrasts similarities and differences between concepts, and then automatically generates, as one feature would be a flashcard or multiple choice or games. And it's all drawn from the same concept. So, example, it would say, what's the mechanism of action of aspirin? It would create a multiple choice question automatically that only showed other mechanisms of actions from other drugs. Or if you were studying art history and you said, what year was this painted? You know, and you had different paintings and you had like the period it was painted, the artist, maybe how much the painting sold for, those attributes would automatically be compared. When talking to my friends at Google, it's very similar to how the Google knowledge graph is arranged. And so the idea wasn't that we were building flashcards, it's that we were building a knowledge architecture that would automatically be a way to test yourself.
That's very, very interesting. I didn't realize that. And I don't know if you did your homework, you might know that my day job, I'm working at the University of the Sciences. You know, we're the first pharmacy school in North America. It goes back to 1824. So your example of you know, using it for drugs is pretty intriguing. You know, I may want to help adopt your program here.
Yeah. In fact, the subjects that have the most difficulty with this type of tables, like pharmacology and anatomy, those are the ones where membrane in its current form has the biggest impact. For the anatomy students, we're working with the Dr. Stark, MD, PhD. She's the director of anatomy at UCLA. She's one of our main authors. And when a student is studying, let's say, what a muscle does in the body, a muscle might, you know, flex the elbow. But then Memorang would automatically look through the content and say, what other muscles flex the elbow? And it would compare and contrast that. Or it'd be, what other muscles act on the elbow? And it would confuse you with one muscle that extends versus one muscle that pronates. And so those types of associations are automatic. And it's much more than memorization. At that point, you're going into what we call second and third order testing. But the amount of effort it takes to input the information is actually less than a traditional flashcard. In fact, one of the things we did early is that we built all of these imports. So you could import from Excel, Quizlet, Cram, StudyBlue, CSV, TSV, Anki, and a whole bunch of other types of programs so that if you've taken notes elsewhere, you can instantly transform it to a different learning experience on Memrank.
Very cool. Now, have schools adapted your technology to generate examinations as well? I mean, it seems like it would be ideal for that.
A little bit, yeah. So, for example, one of our big university partners is University of Southern California here in Los Angeles, and they've officially integrated Memorang into their curriculum at both the medical school and the dental school. And we're currently working with some other parts. And the way that they use Memorang is a little bit different than traditional testing. What they've done is they've done this flipped classroom model where students will review information ahead of lecture and then go into lecture more prepared. The way that Memorang is used is that they have learning modules on Memorang where you could do the flashcards, questions, or games. And they're written by the tutor is reviewed by faculty so that you can completely master the high yield points from every lecture, and then you can go in and learn at a deeper level instead of having the lecturer's voice wash over you as you try and catch up.
Very interesting. Now, you mentioned the games. How do you make a flashcard into a game?
The trick is that you don't make a flashcard. So the thing that I didn't even talk about is the adaptive component. So I just want to give a brief example. Let's say that you put any content on there, whether it's pharmacy, anatomy, art history, that is automatically transferred into quizzes, flashcards, and games that are created by our algorithm. So what that means is that a student can learn in whatever modes work best for them. Some might like games, some might like flashcards, some might like multiple choice. So what it means practically is that a student could answer questions on their iPad and then they could switch to playing a game on their laptop, and the difficult concepts will automatically follow them between devices and modes. Kind of like Spotify, when you stop a song on your phone, then you switch to your computer, it picks up where you left off between devices.
Gotcha. So this is obviously a software as a service system, so it's not totally dependent on, you know, all the code being on the app itself.
Right. So the overall model is a little bit multifactorial, to put it lightly. So what Memoring is, similar to other flashcard websites, they're is a community database. I think we have 15 million user uploaded concepts. And you can search through that database and you can create your own. You could collaborate with peers. I think that's like the standard flashcard style thing, like Quizlet or StudyBlue. Where it starts to get different is that we partner with experts, whether it's our in-house team, publishers, universities, even other startups or professors, and we sell premium content. And you can add that and merge it with your account. So it would be like if Kaplan and Quizlet were merged into the same platform, if that makes sense. And that's done pretty well. We've already are at 20,000 paying subscribers from over 80 countries, studying everything from medical board exams to CPA and CFA. The new thing, which is where we were presenting this new platform at Reimagine, is that we're opening up all of our software to anyone who is a good educator or a publisher or someone who has content. And what that means is that they can focus on what they do best, which means creating their lessons and authoring their content, and then we'll automatically distribute it for them on the web, Amazon, iOS, and Android, right into our platform.
My background's in pharmacology, and I teach pharmacokinetics. Would there be a way to incorporate calculations? I would love to be able to automatically generate, you know, multiple choice exams that where I didn't have to do it all by hand. Can calculations be employed?
Yes. So this is actually, we haven't talked about this publicly yet, but I'm willing to share it with you because it's going to be launched relatively soon. So in pharmacology, obviously calculations are going to be a big deal, whether you're calculating pharmacokinetics or if you're trying to calculate like the drip rate of an IV, it's always going to be different depending upon the needs. And you would have to write tons of these questions. So what we're doing is that we're creating something called dynamic text. It's our own little bit of like a templating language where you can automatically put in questions that will change their attributes every time you go to solve them. So in your example, with pharmacokinetics, you could change the initial concentration. You could say, oh, the range is between 10 milliequivalents to 50 milliequivalents. And then every time you did that question, it would pick a random number between there.
That's very cool.
But it doesn't end there. So let's say that it's a question that's worded in kind of a clinical scenario, like a 45-year-old African-American woman comes to the clinic and she's complaining of the following symptoms: the age, the gender, the symptoms could all be dynamic, meaning that every time you see the question, the stem of the question is slightly modified, and then the numbers in solving the equations are slightly modified. And what that does is it gives you infinite replayability of the concept that you're struggling with. And because it's still adaptive, what that means is that you'll keep seeing the same question again, but you can never memorize the answer to it.
Yes, I think our pharmacy faculty here would go crazy over this. This is very interesting.
There's not many ideas that we come up with that no one has thought of. I think everyone kind of has the same good ideas, just like you brainstormed this idea of like dynamic math problem solving. I think the difference is that we don't feel anchored towards saying that our app is positioned in a certain way. So we're willing to experiment with building a little bit more complex features just to see how they do.
So this is all very fascinating, and certainly I'm going to have links to the your website on my show notes. Tell me, just out of curiosity, as a techie, can you tell me anything about the back end? What language you use?
So it's a fairly standard stack. The API is written in Python. It's a completely custom API that my co-founder George, who's one of my best friends from MIT. He's our CTO, And there's that. And then we use Django and handlebars and HTML and CSS. So pretty standard, just JavaScript framework, templating language, and then Python backend. For the mobile apps are written in, you know, like Swift for iOS. And then our Android is currently a hybrid app. So it's HTML and CSS, but we'll be switching it to native Java.
Okay, interesting. That probably goes well over the heads of probably half of my audience, but that's great. I'm interested in it. The other thing I want to ask you before we have to sign off is, before I would want to adopt or adapt a tool like this for use at an institution, I would want to know that your company is stable and you're not going to disappear tomorrow. Can you tell me about how your company is going and what kind of future you see for it in terms of investments?
Yeah, sure. So we joined a startup accelerator called Mucker Lab based around Santa Monica. And just George and myself working as two people, we are able to scale the company up. And then when we graduated from the accelerator, we raised a 500K seed round a few months ago, spring of 2016. And so right now we're profitable. We have the seed round and we're expanding our team. We monetized within the first 4 weeks of launching, and we've been profitable since, I guess you could say, May of 2014.
That's impressive. There are many companies gone for years without being profitable. So you must
Twitter.
You must have made your investors very happy.
Yeah. And where we are right now, it still feels like the early stages because there's so many things that we want to do. And you opened up talking about how is Memorang different from other flashcard applications. That's the type of thing I want to get away from. I want memorization just to be a feature of the platform, not the focus.
I guess the last thing, I'm interested in the game aspects. I know that's gamifying education is you hear more and more all the time. How does that work? What can you give me an example of what a game would look like?
Sure. There's a few different examples. The most simple one is like matching, where you would have a timer and you would have different concepts and facts about those concepts that you'd have to match together. And then after you finish, let's say, matching eight different pairs of items together, you can review the items that you got right and wrong. Another game is that you choose an avatar and you fly a spaceship and aliens appear towards you and you have to answer the right question to shoot a missile to blow up the alien, or it puts up a shield and it blows up your ship. And then you have to answer eight questions, and between each round, the aliens come faster and faster towards you. But there's still the learning aspect, because in between each level, you have a chance to review your answers and read more. Another example is that a little bit more medical themed is that there's an EKG, and you have to answer answers correctly, whatever it happens to be, to slow down the heart. And if you get wrong or you wait too long, the heart speeds up until it blows up and flatlines. And every round it gets faster, and it's like very intimidating for people. But what I've seen is that whether it's the people in grade school or graduate school, their engagement, they're able to study as much as like 5 to 10 times as much in a single session if you give them the game versus just giving them vanilla flashcards or multiple choice questions.
Very interesting. Yeah. Where do you see your main market? This sounds to me you could be used K-12 through graduate education.
Yeah. So trying to be focused is definitely an issue. I think right now what makes the most sense is to focus on graduate and professional education. That's why we were at the Reimagine Higher Education Conference in the first place. And we think that there's a lot of really underserved communities. For example, physician assistants don't have a lot of resources geared towards them because the audience has been historically small. But for us, because we're a small, nimble team, what we're trying to do is we're trying to focus on a lot of different professional and graduate schools and certifications, because we see that as a problem worth solving. K through 12, I think there's a lot of good solutions out there. I don't think they need the Memorang platform right now as desperately as these other types of students do.
I see. Yeah, good point. You're really on a roll. It seems like there's a lot of areas you could move towards. Of course, it occurs to me that you'd be ideally suited to build on the idea of adaptive education, having more of a longitudinal record of a student's progress. Is this is that something you're that's built into this, or something that you still need to develop, rather than adaptive within a given session, but I'm talking about over a period of time.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about like long-term scheduling. We're building the concept of long-term scheduling and goals, and that's going to come out this spring. We've been thinking a lot about it, and we're actually, at one point, we were working with the Bjork Lab of Learning and Forgetting at UCLA. Those are the guys who basically authored all the publications on spaced repetition. And we've designed a really interesting algorithm that better reflects how people study these days with, you know, on their phones and devices with short study sessions. So I would keep an eye open for the more long-term learning options that will launch on Memorang later this year.
Great. One last thing. I know my audience is going to want to know, if you're a student and want to use this as a tool, what's the cost for a student, or do they have to get it through their institution?
It's 100% free to use. So any student anywhere in the world, as long as you have an internet connection, can sign up for Memorang for free, and you could use this tool. Any content that is uploaded by a student that's not private is free for you to use. You can import from dozens of other flashcard websites, or even from your own files in your computer. And we have a really nifty crate interface where you can quickly type up your notes. That's 100% free. The only thing that costs money on Memorang is if you purchase expert content, and that's available. We call them power-ups, and they're in a marketplace.
Well, that answers my question. That's great. Yermi, I think this sounds like a fantastic product. I see a lot of new products that come through in terms of educational technologies, and yours looks very promising. And I want to wish you the best of luck with your company, and we'll certainly have to keep in touch.
All right. Well, thanks, Rodney. It was great being here.
I hope you enjoyed the talk today. Check out the show notes, and I have links to the Memorang app, which again is free. And you can see what Reimagine Education Conference is all about. See the links in my show notes. And stay tuned for Ain't No Reason by Brett Denon. Until next time, have a great week.
There ain't no reason things are this way. It's how they always been and they intend to stay. I can't explain why we live this way. We do it every day. Preachers on the podium speaking of saints. Prophets on the sidewalk begging for change. Old ladies laughing from the fire escape, cursing my name. I got a basket full of lemons and they all taste the same. A window in a pigeon with a broken wing. You can spend your whole life working for something just to have it taken away. People walk around pushing back their debts, wearing paychecks like necklaces and bracelets. Talking about nothing, not thinking about death. Every little heartbeat, every little breath. People walk a tightrope on a razor's edge, carrying that hurt and hatred and weapons. It could be a bomb or a bullet or a pen, or a thought or a word or a sentence. There ain't no reason things are this way. It's how they always been and they intend to stay. I don't know why I say the things I say, but I say them anyway. But love will come set me free. Love will come set me free. I do believe. Love will come set me free. I know it will. Love will come set me free. Yes. Prison walls still standing tall. Some things never change at all. Keep on building prisons, gonna fill them all. Keep on building bombs, gonna drop them all. Working your fingers bare to the bone. Breaking your back, make you sell your soul. Like a lung, it's filled with coal. suffocating slow. The wind blows wild and I may move, but politicians lie and I am not fooled. You don't need no raisin or a three-piece suit to argue the truth. The air on my skin and the world under my toes. Slavery stitched to the fabric of my clothes. Chaos and commotion wherever I go. Love I try to follow. Love will come and set me free. Love will come and set me free. I do believe. Love will come and set me free. I know it will. Love will come and set me free. Yes. There ain't no reason things are this way. It's how they always been and they intend to stay. I can't explain why we live this way. We do it every day.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog or send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.